Politicians from both sides of the aisle have finally found out legislation they can agree on. But is it really a good thing if they are unified in taking away or limiting Americans' access to information? I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we're going to look at House Resolution 7521. And if it is really a Trojan horse being used by Congress to destroy the right to freedom of speech. Let's get started. In the spring of 2019, Senate Republicans like Senator Ted Cruz hosted several hearings claiming social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and even search engine Google were purposefully censoring conservatives and conservative media outlets.
Is that in fact what Google is doing, which is censoring and moderating speech on its platform?
So I would not say that we are censoring speech on our platform.
There were rounds of hearings, questions, and appearances by elected Republicans reinstating these charges, saying not only did big tech have the power to silence voices they disagreed with, but they also had the power to collate a person's feed to show only news which was aligned with their own political agendas. Now, Democrats sharply rebuked this charge and said Republicans were just continuing their history of bashing what they consider to be the liberal mainstream media and big tech, while ignoring the real dangers, which was the rise of hate speech and disinformation online. But in the eyes of the majority of Americans, this made Republicans the party fighting to protect freedom of speech. So let's fast forward to 2024, and two things have changed. First, one of the largest social media platforms, Twitter, was sold to libertarian tech giant Elon Musk, who almost immediately changed the name to X and promised to fight for free speech and oppose the woke mind virus. Now, the second change came in the development and almost instantly popular online social media outlet originating from China called TikTok, and is continuing to dominate the sector, which of course does not make some of its American competitors very happy. These competitors happen to have very generous lobbyists in Washington, D.C. Let's look at this. Meta, which is the owner of the popular platforms Facebook and Instagram, and in the first half of 2023 spent about $9 million on lobby activities. Now, the previous year, the company's lobby effort totaled approximately $21 million. Now, I initially thought the calling for this banning of TikTok, which has taken a very large amount of traffic away from the Meta platforms, was mainly about an American company using the government to eliminate a foreign competitor. And this still could be the case, as TikTok is ultimately owned through a very complex, multi-layered corporate structure, ByteDance, who is a privately owned technology giant. However, former Congressman Ron Paul has correctly stated the U.S. House vote to force the sale of TikTok or ban the platform entirely from the U.S. is the most dangerous and anti-American act since the passage of the Patriot Act. Why is all this? Well, because the law will give the U.S. president, whomever that is, sole authority to determine which businesses can and cannot operate in the United States. This is a full government takeover of basic liberties. And while it's being done under the umbrella of protecting American security, it is accomplishing the exact opposite. Even more alarming, the same Republican Party, which championed free speech just a few short years ago, is largely the one pushing for this ban. The majority of Democrats have either been supportive of the ban or basically stayed quiet. However, there were a few voices on both sides of the aisle who found themselves vocalizing their disagreement of this ban. New York Democrat Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez voted against the ban, saying, "There are serious antitrust and privacy questions here, and any national security concerns should be laid out to the public prior to a vote." Almost voicing the same opposition to the ban was Republican Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia and Representative Thomas Massie from Kentucky. Even the Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump, publicly stated his disagreement with the ban, saying there are a lot of people on TikTok that love it. There are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it. And while President Joe Biden himself has not said anything, the Biden-Harris headquarters on TikTok has more than 265,000 followers and is very active. So what is the real reasoning behind this bipartisan support of House Resolution 7521? Let's discuss with our guest, Angela McArdle, chair of the Libertarian National Committee, Larry Ward, president, Political Media, Inc., and Jens Rewald, political commentator and comedian. Thanks for joining me. Well, let's start with you, James. Do you believe that those in Congress who support this bill are really doing so out of concern for American security and safety?
No. The short answer is no. It's kind of a silly notion to think that the U.S. government's actually interested in data privacy concerns. Just look at the tech industry based in the U.S., from Google to Meta, Twitter/X. These are very integrated with the national security state. They sell technology and are used for surveillance purposes. So the idea that, you know, the U.S. government's actually concerned about any sort of national security threats that TikTok poses, they could levy those criticisms towards U.S.-based companies, but, you know, they don't really, apart from maybe like some Republicans back in the day under the Trump administration, it's for different reasons, right?
Right.
And there are criticisms to make about TikTok, but it's a bit of a witch hunt.
Well, it is a witch hunt, even though you have every congressman up there screaming, well, not every, but most of them saying that it's about security. So, Larry, I have to ask you, what do you feel like is the real reason that the U.S. Congress is taking this type of position on the TikTok platform?
Right after we've gone through a couple of years of censorship, that's exactly the reason. Look, they are not concerned at all with, like you said, with security. This is not about China. This is about getting control of a company that, you know, quite frankly, they deem inappropriate. But it was just like Operation Choke Point. When Operation Choke Point during the Obama administration came out, they said, we're going to target unsavory business and debank them. That was pretty much the whole idea of Operation Choke Point. And it was guns. It was porn, and it was, drugs. And, you know, really all they focused on were guns, and it kept getting more slippery. So that's essentially what's happening now. Look, if you look at who is advocating for this bill, it's Dan Crenshaw. It's a security Republicans and Democrats. It's the neocons. And on the other side, you have Ron Paul and Rand Paul. I will align my lighthouse with Rand Paul and Ron Paul any day, those kind of guys rather than the Dan Crenshaws of the world.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because that brings in the libertarian point of view. So I've got to ask you, Angela. Normally, libertarians pretty much side with Republicans on issues, except in this case. Why do you see that Republicans in Congress are so supportive of this bill? Do you think it has anything to do with the billions being poured in by the outside other social media platforms?
I think normally libertarians, we side with a few Republicans, like Rand Paul and Thomas Massey. I'm not sure how much this has to do with billions being poured in, but I think it's interesting that this would come after Elon Musk rights the ship at Twitter. If our government was that concerned with Chinese influence, shouldn't they be looking at people in China who've purchased massive amounts of land, farming, the farming industry, things of that nature? The whole thing just seems kind of like a farce.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the farce. So I'm going to go back to you, James, because I'm just going to point out you look a little bit young, and I think this is something that have left a lot of young voters kind of scratching their head going, of all the things right now that you could be targeting Congress, that you could be working on, you're going after one of the most popular social media platforms with our age group. So do you think right now that Congress is just basically once again showing they're out of touch with who their constituency is or their future constituency?
Yeah. I mean, anytime, they got some tech CEOs doing some sort of hearing, I mean, they Congress really shows how little they know and how out of the loop they are with how these things work. I mean, the ridiculous question asking when they could actually, you know, have a good opportunity to grill these guys on legitimate questions. They ask them about, like, if it connects to the Wi-Fi and, you know, insisting that the CEO of TikTok is Chinese, asking how, like, the ad revenue models or, like, how they earn revenue to Zuckerberg when he's on the stand. So, yeah, I mean, it's especially ridiculous when you look at the deteriorating material conditions of Americans. I mean, we got, like, you know, groceries, food spikes, price spikes that are, you know, hitting a 30-year high. But for some reason, TikTok seems to be the thing that has bipartisan support, banning it, that is. So, yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
Well, and that's the thing, Angela, because they did say that if TikTok was to sell everything and become 100% American, that Congress will allow it to continue. Do you actually believe that? Or do you think the damage is already done to TikTok?
I don't know how much damage has already been done, but I'm sure that there's going to be, if they want to force all the Chinese shareholders to sell and have it purchased by American interest, I imagine that what they want is for that to be purchased by the government. They would love a new propaganda app, I'm sure. And so they're like, oh, is there Chinese propaganda on here? Well, it should be American propaganda. It's totally in alignment with what they do through the NSA, what we know that they did through Twitter with the Twitter files, and what we're all pretty sure they do in Facebook.
Well, it's interesting because, Angela, you did bring up the idea of Elon Musk, and that kind of brought another part of the conversation, even though it was kind of like the elephant in the room amongst the congressional hearings that was going on. Larry, are you suspect that this is actually more about not necessarily even getting the Chinese out, because they're not getting rid of the Chinese in any other parts of American life, but more of a target to Elon Musk, something that someone who has made it quite obvious he can't be controlled by the government?
100%. That is exactly what it's about. And look, I actually think that there's some problems with TikTok and social media. I am of the opinion that, you know, social media does pose real health and mental health and you know, inhibits learning from kids that are just constantly flicking on through these reels, and their attention spans are getting less and less. And quite frankly, if the government was really concerned about the content and the medium, these reels and these TikTok and these YouTube shorts and all these things, they're really concerned about it. You should treat it like you did in the 80s with the DARE program. You know, so you start putting out commercials. I remember when I was in the 80s, there was a commercial that ran every day. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your kids are? You know, which is kind of hilarious. But at the same time, you know, why aren't we running those kind of ads? Like, look, there's some danger to social media. Do you know what your kids are posting? Do you know what your kids are reading and what they're absorbing on the content of social media? If they were concerned, which I'm concerned, that's the kind of thing they should be communicating to parents, is, hey, look, there might be some dangerous stuff on these programs. You know, make sure you're educated and aware and keep these kids safe.
You know, it's interesting, and we're going to continue this conversation. Angela, Larry, James, stay right there, because after the break, we're going to continue this discussion and why there's alarm regarding the future of freedom of speech here in America. We'll be right back.
Русофобия оказалась выгодным бизнесом.
Они Украину предали, ограбили и отдали на растерзание американцам. Украину, мою родину.
Эти люди готовились достаточно открыто, финансирование проводилось достаточно широко, и мы знаем всех акторов, кто это финансирование получал.
8 лет двигались ровно в этом направлении, чтобы вот расчеловечить русских и разорвать все связи.
Это результат серьезной работы над историческим сознанием.
Преступление против человечества задокументировано на украинских территориях очень много. И большая часть из них совершена при попустительстве или по прямому приказу нынешнего или прошлого киевского руководства.
Уже они давно вышли из легального поля, давно, значит, действуют другими методами, неконституционными.
Это и есть преступление по нацистскому образцу.
OpenT X приветствует вас.
Ну, давай попробуем. Хотя бы кружок.
FPV-революция, она началась уже непосредственно в ходе СВО. То есть мужики в гаражах начали из запчастей, покупаемых на Алиэкспрессе, собирать там сотнями эти одноразовые камикадзе.
Мы не отправляем ни одного аппарата на фронт, не проведя тесты, не подняв его в воздух.
С опытом, когда уже по 1000 идет дронов, уже по слуху начинаешь понимать неисправности большинства.
Получая от нас такую посылку, бойцы на передовой, в принципе, уже могут просто достать аппарат, достать к нему аккумуляторную батарею. Ну и сейчас, собственно говоря, боец его включает и полетел.
Хороший рабочий дрон. Сейчас самое нужное на фронте, потому что это уже новая война, совсем другая. Будущее за ними.
The 1960s were a turning point in Africa's struggle for liberation. However, in the south of the continent, European racists decided to prolong the agony of colonialism. In 1965, the white minority unilaterally declared the state of Rhodesia. Its authorities pursued the policy of racial segregation. The indigenous population was deprived of real political rights and subject to merciless economic exploitation. African patriots, with the support of the Soviet Union and China, opposed the splinter of the colonial system. A coalition of pro-Western countries took the side of Rhodesia. The guerrillas carried out bold raids from the territory of Zambia and Mozambique and inflicted painful blows on the racists. As the situation worsened, the Rhodesian army turned to chemical and biological weapons. The racists poisoned water and food and planted contaminated medicines on the guerrillas. This caused an epidemic of cholera and anthrax and led to mass fatality. However, the attempts to break down the Africans' resistance were futile. The white minority regime was doomed. In 1979, it capitulated. A year later, free elections were held. Instead of racist Rhodesia, the state of Zimbabwe appeared on the world map and became a true bastion of the ideas of Pan-Africanism.
Welcome back. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and you're watching The 360 View. Now, allies of Elon Musk believe if the government succeeds in shutting down TikTok, the next move will be to shut down X after designating Elon Musk an anti-government terrorist, saying that if the government can't control it, they kill it. So is there any validity to this claim, or is it just another conspiracy theory? Well, let's bring back in our panel. Angela McArdle, Chair of the Libertarian National Committee, Larry Ward, President of Political Media, Inc., and James Raywald, political commentator and comedian. Thanks for staying with me through the break. I want to start with you on this, Angela. Why does the American government seem to be really preoccupied with keeping information out of foreign governments? However, the idea of actually protecting privacy in America from the U.S. government is considered a joke to them.
Well, they're not interested in protecting our privacy. They're interested in controlling our lives, and controlling social media and the free flow of information is really imperative to that. And certainly they want to see what we're discussing and what we're, they want to know what we're thinking about, right? And it, social media is as close as they can get to that. And it's their prerogative to just maintain control and prevent people from sharing dissident views. And I think that we really saw that during the pandemic. You know, there was a particular narrative they wanted out there, and they crushed any and all dissenting thought on social media.
Well, it's interesting, Angela, you bring up the pandemic, because I think that was where TikTok platform became popular because of the pandemic, because we were at home and everybody was promoting it. You know, I've got to ask you, Larry, if this was to go after Elon Musk, like we previously discussed, do you think that he would continue to advance this in court all the way up to the Supreme Court?
I do. I think he would absolutely be. Look, he's invested in it. He put a fortune into protecting free speech and took X private, you know. So I think he would fight and take it to the Supreme Court. But the question is now you see what happened in the Supreme Court. We have Ketanji Jackson Brown saying that, you know, free speech is really not free speech, because the government has a need to, if the government has a need to kind of squash speech, it should be able to squash speech. So we have a very scary element. Now, we do have some members of the Supreme Court who I think would rule right, but it's not a guarantee, not in today's world. And if you look at, you know, like you said, if you look at why this is happening, it's because the mainstream media is so distrusted, and it's and the viewership is down so much, probably because of the pandemic and because of the 2020 election and BLM and all of those false narratives that were propagated. They don't have a control over the information anymore. The only true information is being spread on social media. So, you know, they have to shut it down.
But James, here's what I'm a little confused about, because I remember this thing in American civics called separation of branches. We have the judicial, we have legislative, we have the executive. This is a bill this is a law being drawn up by the legislative. If this goes to, has to be appealed all the way up to the judicial branch, is this not pitting the judicial branch, and I guess that's checks and balances, versus the legislative? But that means that the judicial branch is the ones making the laws in America, which is something Republicans have been crying about, saying shouldn't be happening for decades now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably have to disagree with, like, the reasons that Republicans have in the past raised it. I think that, you know, what's happening right now, I'd be remiss not to mention the elephant in the room. You know, you have both parties in full support of Israel's, you know, massings of Palestinians in Gaza. And they're trying to do damage control. I mean, it's the timing's a little sus. You got, you know, full material support and diplomatic cover from the Biden administration. And you have, I mean, literally like IDF troops with no discipline, just showcasing their own crimes, you know, ransacking houses, mutilating bodies, terrifying people. It's horrible. And I mean, even, you know, don't take it from me, even the CEO of the ADL, which is an openly Zionist organization, has, you know, there's a leaked audio call saying, like, we have a TikTok problem. We have a generational problem. You know, they're trying to stem the flow of information. Of course, calls to ban TikTok predate this. And, you know, it's part of the larger conversation of just controlling this imperialist narrative, and just, you know, making sure that U.S. foreign policy looks good. And of course, this is extra scary now that, you know, Instagram recently quietly rolled out a new feature that actually limits political content. And people are, you know, I don't know if you've seen people sharing the post saying, like, hey, you got to re-enable this. You're automatically opted out. You know, it's a little scary that now TikTok potentially could disappear. And, you know, they're essentially trying to censor a genocide that's, you know, backed by our tax dollars. And, you know, this is also coupled with the fact that, you know, U.S. mainstream media is all towing the imperialist line. They are just, you know, saying, like, hey, this is, you know, a very watered down whitewashed version at best, and at worst, just like full support for, you know, U.S. foreign policy decisions. And of course, it's during an election year where, again, both parties are in support of this. So. Right. Yeah, it's a lot going on.
It's interesting, James, because you do bring up one side of that issue, which is why a lot of people say we should have a diversity with what's going on with monopolies. But I've got to ask you, Angela, Donald Trump originally was for banning TikTok. Now he's reversed on it. Is that, do you think, because he sees that this could be, he wants to, there are these laws we have in America that protect from media monopolies. And if they go through with this, you're sort of setting it up that certain monopolies will exist and they'll be legislated by the government.
Yeah, I think he's seeing right through it. I think he's mindful of what happened with Parler. And, you know, it seems like Donald Trump sometimes, like, he tends to shoot from the hip with his policy decisions and his ideas. And he probably thought, you know, TikTok is terrible. He doesn't like China. You know, let's go ahead and get rid of it. And once he realized what was going on, he reversed course, which is great. You know, I love to see critical thinking coming out of people in Washington. We don't have nearly enough of that. And, you know, if he gets elected, hopefully we're going to see a little bit more, you know, pro-freedom of speech stuff coming out of D.C., but we'll see what happens.
Well, and that's the thing, Larry, you know, how is this going to have an effect? I mentioned earlier to James talking about how the younger generation is going. Once again, why is Congress going after one thing that I actually use to get my information from? Will this actually have an impact, especially with those younger groups? Now, let me point out, the Biden administration does have their very popular TikTok account that they've started back up. Trump has his. I find it very funny right now that the same, you know, this is obviously a bipartisan attack on a platform, but not by the two guys that are leading to be leader of the free world. What's your take on it?
You're exactly right. Look, the whole idea that TikTok is the threat that we have to be looking at is absurd. It is, you know, like I said, I do have a problem with the content. I do have a problem with what it's doing to our young people. But there are other ways to handle that other than taking a business from somebody. And Donald Trump, of course, just launched Truth Social. And he is acutely aware, more than anybody in the world, of weaponized government because of what they've done to him personally. So, you know, I think that's the reason why he changed his tune. You know, I will take a little umbrage, with James on the Israel thing. I'm of the belief that, you know, Israel can do what Israel wants to do. Palestinians did what they wanted to do on October 7th. We should stay out of it and let Israel defend itself. And quite frankly, it's their public relations nightmare, not ours. But that's my personal opinion. And whether it's a public relations nightmare or it turns out to be a public relations victory at the end, all said and done is theirs. But we should be able to have this conversation. We should be able to have this conversation on every platform possible, like your show. You have been on your show many times, and you're never afraid to have the tough conversations, ask tough questions, and have people talk. You're not trying to talk over us or anything like that, and that's the most important thing. We have to have these conversations.
And Larry, we don't call it the 360 view for nothing. You just completed what I said about James. There's two points of view to every situation, and that's why we need the various social media platforms. Angela, on this case, do they not know that if TikTok was to go away, that something else would just come in its place? Is that not give more credence to the idea that this is more about taking down a very powerful platform that already exists, like Twitter or X?
Well, sure. Social media is a hydra. You know, you cut off one head, another one sprouts up. But our government is very hubristic, and they think, you know, they can manage it. They'll control it. They'll make sure that they get ahead of it next time. They'll pass this legislation to scare people from investing too much and creating the same kind of platforms. And that's why we need to oppose this legislation. They're trying to get out ahead of it, and we need to do the same thing.
Well, and that's why we're having this show right here. Angela, Larry, James, thank you so much for joining me on this conversation. We'll see where this bill goes. With the unlimited boundaries presented by the information superhighway, any government can regulate a platform out of existence. But very few things can be done to stop the creation of a new one. Now, social media platforms adapt and change for relevancy. And if ultimately strangled by regulations, just like the axolotl, the starfish, or the octopus, it will grow the appendage back in an even more resilient form. This is the same with regulating freedom. If you do something so obvious which limits freedom, the backlash, whether it be in the streets or at the ballot box, will be strong enough to stop, well, at least in the short term. I'm Skye Noe Hughes. Thank you for watching the 360 View.